This series of Kicking It Off is sponsored by Bazooka Goals, Airpitch, and 3v3 UK. Having been a coach for over three decades, I know how important it is to have equipment that's easy to use and immediately engages the players. Bazooka Goals is the award-winning pop-up goal that's the perfect partner for small-sided games and training. Remember, every dream starts with a goal. And if you want to take your games to the next level, Airpitch's unique system keeps the ball in play 95% of the time. And coaches, if you're like me and want to bring the best of football, futsal and street football together, then 3v3 UK hosts tournaments and festivals around the country, as well as having a great franchise program. It's all about fast feed fun. All three of these brands will help you create a fun-filled, vibrant environment in which to produce the happy, active, skillful players of the future.
And welcome to Kicking It Off, the podcast for those interested in sports, football and the coaching of young children. My name's Lauren and joining me as always, my legendary dad, Pete Sturgis. Now, normally we have Dora, my golden doodle, as our studio dog, but we're not quite sure where she is. You might hear her actually. She's outside just, there she was.
She's in my raised bed.
She's in the raised bed. Carrots. We've got a no digging sign because she's a bit of a nightmare. So if you hear any barking in the distance, that's Dora. She's just
exploring.
Dora the Explorer. She's just making sure that we still know that she's around, that her presence has been noted. So today, listeners, a really, really exciting episode. We've had lots of people mention that they just want more info about the play phase. Mm-hmm. So today's episode is all about the play phase. So the play phase, to me, feels like a relatively new thing. As your daughter, when I was growing up and there would be conversations around the dinner table, I felt like I heard a lot about the DNA foundation phase and what that meant. So the play phase to me feels like a relatively, I'm sure it's not, like a relatively new concept. So Dad, I'm just gonna throw it straight to you. What is the play phase?
Yeah, for me, it's one of the most exciting developments that I've been involved in. We want to give our children the best possible start to being active and hopefully continuing their involvement in sports. And we contacted one of our county FAs, not one of the largest, to find out how many children they had registered with the county FA to become players in an under-7 team at some point. And the numbers were really high. So we had almost 1,000 children
Wow.
who were registered with one county FA, not the biggest. Mm-hmm. So we got to thinking that if we've got quite a few county FAs and we've got the same level of involvement, there must be thousands and thousands of young children aged 4, 5, and 6 who are being coached and who are being invited to try football in order to be a player in an under-7 team in the near future. But we had no idea what was being done to those children. So I'm sure, and we did find this out during the pilot scheme, because we had 8 pilot events across the length and breadth of the country, where we actually asked grassroots teams who were working with children this young to attend a pilot session where myself would put on some activities. And what we found was there was some really good practice, but we also found that there was some practice that really resembled more adult level coaching and activities rather than children. And so we wanted to just present what we considered would be best practice for children of this age. And we wrapped it all up in an approach called the play phase.
So the play phase, as you mentioned, is for young children, more specifically ages 4, 5 and 6. And I'm sure that this will have been the case in academies, you know, in the past couple of decades, that kids from 4, but then also into being teenagers, were being coached with practices that were probably best suited to adults. So it's great that you saw a need and you went to fill that need. Actually, these children are lacking what they need for their specific age developmentally and what they're capable of. So then you mentioned best practice there and you put together this program. What is best practice and how did you decide what is best practice?
By looking at the child first and not football. Mm. And I mean, I know this is a recurring theme and we don't want to sound as though we're, you know, it's a broken record. But if you want to maximise the development for where the children are at a particular time in their life, you have to look at them, not what you want to prepare them for. We always knew that what we wanted would meet the needs of football, mm-hmm. because a lot of the activities were about football, but it was a lot more than that as well. And so I was lucky enough to work with one of our previous podcast guests, Chris Pascal, from the Centre for Research in Early Childhood. Chris and I have known each other for over a decade now, and Chris was integral to the development of the FA Skills Programme in the past. With her expertise in early years and child development, we needed to make sure that any advice we were giving and any approach that we were advocating needed to be really robust academically, mm-hmm. so that no one could say, well, the research says this and you're saying we do that. So working alongside Chris and Craig, we managed to formulate what we call the play framework. Mm-hmm. And it's a framework based on academic rigor. So it's a piece of work that we don't want the coaches to be able to repeat it, you know, verbatim, mm-hmm. but we want them to acknowledge that if they get the things right that are included in this play framework, the children have got a much better chance of achieving the outcomes that we want them to get. Lots of them are related to football. Lots of them are related to the kind of development that we want them to have when they are 4, 5, and 6 years of age, like social development, emotional development, language development. But that can only come if we recognise the importance of those things and they begin to influence the way that we work with the young children.
I really like what you said there, Dad, that we know that we can coach for football. We know that the needs of football and what is required in a session to tick the needs, yes, we're focused on football rather than this is a rugby session, that those are always going to be met, because this podcast, yes, it's for people interested in sports, as the intro says, but we're specifically talking about football here. So that's always going to be met. Then what should be the primary focus is my session appropriate? Is it the best practice for what these children are developmentally capable of?
Mm. Well, we've spoke earlier in one of the earlier podcasts about the four corners. Mm. And in our play phase, we've got four elements of play. So we've got social play, physical play, object play, and imaginative play. And they form that play framework. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we're asking the coach that in every session, there's got to be all of those things. Yeah. But we're saying that over the time that you spend with the children, and that could be 9 months of the year, that you deliver some of those different activities across that time period. Yeah. And if you do, then the magic will start to happen. But there is a magic ingredient that has to be present. And that is you as a coach and the role that you adopt. Because if you want the children to engage in imaginative play, then if you're planning the session, then you've got to throw yourself into the world of the child in order to bring alive that imaginative world, mm-hmm. that you want the children to
engage
go
with,
into
yeah, yeah.
and engage with. And then if you want them to move like different animals or to be a dinosaur or to pretend that they're a pirate, it's got to be believable. So we can't just say, okay, kids, we do an imaginative play, off you go. We've got to enter that world of the child. If we're talking about physical play, we don't just want to meet the demands of football. We want to give the children and blast them with so many physical experiences and ways to move and ways to balance and things to coordinate and manipulate, that as children, whether they go on to do anything else in the future, we've given them the best possible start. And if we can do that, we hope that the children will be confident enough to try lots of other activities and sports. And so it just snowballs, yeah. And the confidence that we've given the children just gets better and better and better.
A little memory came to mind when you were talking about imaginative play and having to commit.
Not the plank.
The plank, oh, yes, no. You knew where I was going. So listeners, I can't remember if this was my fourth or fifth birthday, but talking about committing, and it was when you mentioned pirates. So
I'll never be able to work with children again after this.
So I had a pirate themed birthday party, and Dad, being the genius that he is, created an actual plank that the kids at the birthday party had to walk off. And I just remember them all crying because I think Dad committed a little too hard to the role of being a pirate, and it scared the living daylights out of everyone. But still to this day, Dad, I kind of think that you were a pirate because you did just commit. You committed to that role. And I think, yeah, maybe coaches, you don't have to go that far. But I think engaging in that imaginative play enough that that matches the level that you're asking of the children is a really great place to start.
Yeah, perhaps don't go as far as Bluebeard here. But It is just entering the world of the child, but knowing where, you know, the limits might be.
And I've said in a previous episode that maybe I was a bit of a guinea pig for, you know, all of these practices. But Dad learned a lesson from that. Yep. What is maybe a step too far. So we've talked about imaginative play and physical play there. You mentioned that there's two others. There's social play.
And object play.
So let's talk about those then, social play and object play. What do those mean and how might they look in a session, or what are things that coaches need to consider with those two titles?
If we look at social play, then you can have obviously groups of lots of different sizes depending on the number of children that you've got. When you are playing any kind of games, any relay races, any obstacle courses where children are grouped together, it is about the activity, but it's also about them supporting each other, having some kind of empathy or connection with somebody who might have made a mistake or is not as fast as somebody else, and just engendering that notion of togetherness and what can be achieved collectively. And that's going to be particularly important if the children stay with football and go into more competitive arenas. That sense of togetherness is really important. So that's social play is an important element of play phase. The object play, I think most coaches will be really comfortable with this. But I do get a little bit worried that coaches think, I'm going to look at the rule book, and for under sevens, it says you must play with an under three, a size three ball. That's fine. But there is so much more development that can be had if you played with a size four or a size five or a size two, or you play with a tennis ball, yeah, or you play with a rugby ball. You're going to get lots of changes of directions and stopping and starting if you played a game of football with a rugby ball. So if you've got an idea about what you want to try to develop or the opportunities you want the children to experience, don't be limited by the fact that, oh, well, object play means it's a size three because they're under sevens. Throw the kitchen sink at the kids, not literally, but use beanbags, use hoops. Yeah. We had a brilliant session with a coach who used a frisbee. So we put hoops about 10 meters away, gave each child a frisbee, and they had to, that was a planet that they had to land on.
Oh,
and
wow.
The frisbee was their spaceship. So they had to throw it,
yeah,
and landed in the hoop. And I mean, there were frisbees going everywhere, but the coach was saying, if you throw it that hard, do you think you're going to go past it or you're going to? So it was almost saying we were calibrating the power and the effort that the children were. That was the role of the coach, you know. So I think if we can, we talked about being creative ourselves in a previous episode. I think we've got to present being active, being imaginative, playing with different objects in the best possible way and most engaging way so that the kids will throw themselves into it. So I think that's when the magic really happens.
Because as well, these are young children that are just entering. They might have been at nursery, but they'll just be going, and five is when you start primary school. So this is a really, really exciting age where that social play with friends that they've developed, we've got them right at the beginning of that journey, which is really, really exciting. And that frisbee exercise, I want to do that. That sounds brilliant. And again, it's specific for a particular age, but if you engage them and we're ticking the boxes at the beginning, you're gonna get an adult who, I mean, I would like to say that I could throw a frisbee with good aim or with decent power, but I don't quite think. Maybe I missed out on that exercise. I must have missed that lesson.
That was a guinea pig lesson.
That was a guinea pig lesson that I didn't get. But again, it's planning long term of knowing these are great things that they need right now. And yeah, okay, we can think down the line what that's working towards, but actually, in the play phase, children in play phase age are so young. It's a really, really exciting time to be working with them.
But if you, I mean, I know we've both mentioned the hoops and the frisbees and the outer space and planet. Just think of the language development that is possible if you put that activity on with the children. And don't just say, oh, that one went in, that one didn't. Develop their language and extend the vocabulary that they use and explain that if you throw in a really big word, what that might mean. That is the kind of deeper and broader development that we want to happen with this play phase approach. And it's not that we don't, or it's not that we compromise on the football, but we have been quite brave in advocating that the games that children play in the play phase, they should be 2v2, or if you've got odd numbers, 2v1 or even 3v2, no bigger than that. And that's because we want multiple contacts. We want real involvement in the game. So if there's four children on the pitch, and those pitches are quite small, then the child knows that they're only a few metres away from the ball at any given time. They're only a few seconds about away from having a touch of the ball or a shot at goal or a pass to somebody else. And so that kind of repeated involvement in the game is exactly the preparation that we want for them when the numbers get larger later on.
And that repeated exposure to the ball, and in smaller formats, you are just going to be in contact with the ball more regularly, and that development will just be accelerated than if you're working on a much, much larger format. And it's interesting in that we're talking about small formats. In next week's episode, we're going to be talking to Anders Venesland, the brilliant mind behind Bazooka Goals and Air Pitch Football, which both products that are often used to help facilitate smaller formats.
Yeah, and the Bazooka Goals, they are brilliant. But we've also used, I deliberately at a CPD event, I used my rucksack and a bib, because I know some grassroots coaches don't have all the equipment.
Yeah.
The equipment is great and they work really well, but you can use cones, you can use bibs. It would be brilliant if you asked two parents to become the goalposts and just stand
there.
And
that's you being creative and working with what you've got.
So talking about parents, one of the best things that happened on the roadshow events, because I've actually done 20 roadshow events at the length and breadth of the country now, and we had a special like guest appearance by the parents. So if you want to help the parents understand your play phase approach, you have to bring them into what is happening and help them understand why you are doing what you're doing. And so we had these guest appearances by the parents where they would work one-on-one with their own child. And it was just brilliant. And it meant that I would lead the activities, but the hope is that the parents would get lots of their own ideas to do with the children at home or with their siblings to just get them into being active. So I think any coaches within the play phase, and I've used the word coach, but we actually use captains of play rather than this notion of a coach. So any captains of play out there who really want to do the best for the children, I think you've got to get the parents involved, get them supporting you at every turn.
So how can people either become a captain of play, or how and where can they engage with Playphase material?
There is a 3-hour online module that is free, provided by England Education. So look out for that. That's a really useful resource. And on there are 20 activity cards to get you going and get you thinking about imaginative play, object play, and what that might look like. Hopefully, you're already using a lot of similar ideas, so that's valuable. But on our website, on the Session Collective, or www.thesessioncollective.co.uk, we're having a specific play phase area where, well, anybody can go, but if you are either a current captain of play or you want to know more about it, there's going to be loads of information and content on there.
That's great. Yeah, thanks for dropping in the website. Please do let us know how you have been using the website. It's something that has been new for both of us that Dad and I have created, and it's still a work in progress, and we would love to know how that resource can better help you as coaches, as parents. So please do let us know what you think of it. But yes, the play phase part of the website, it's looking really exciting and hopefully will be a really brilliant resource for parents. So if we're to summarize the play phase in general, which feels quite hard to do because there's such a lot of information there, we've pointed coaches in the direction of great modules, in the direction of our website where there's more information, but this feels like it's a really important development that will hopefully then lead coaches, parents and children really nicely into, when as they get older, into the DNA foundation phase, that this is a really brilliant pre DNA resource, that it's here, it exists, and that children, most importantly, children of that age, 4, 5 and 6, are getting what they need that is best practice for their age when they're beginning to engage in sports and in football.
Yeah, I mean, it is the perfect like first steps towards the DNA. But more importantly, we hope that it's an approach that presents being physically active and being with other children, enjoying being physically active, is something that resonates in all of the children to the point where they stick with being physically active for the long term. Obviously, we want them to stay with football, but I think we serve the game up in the most appropriate way, or we scale the game in the most appropriate way. So 2v2 is the perfect way to introduce 4, 5 and 6-year-olds to football. It was a bit of a revelation for some captains of play to actually, during the 2v2 games that were going on, to have a ball under each arm, because we know what happens when the ball goes out of play. You get 4 children running after it because they want to have the ball.
Yeah.
And that should be, you know, sending off alarm bells in our heads that, well, actually, they all like to have a ball at their feet, so we need to give them lots more of that. But instead of having the 4 children running off and fighting over the ball, get them into the habit of, if the ball goes out, forget that one, we'll get one of the parents to get it. But you're already rolling the next ball into play. And so they start looking at you instead of chasing off the pitch. So they have even more involvement, even more touches of the ball. And for you as the captain of play, you can also roll the ball to someone who may not have touched it for a few minutes or whatever. So you're then bringing them into the game. So there's lots of little subtle ways that we can begin to serve up football in the most appropriate way. But if they go to 5v5 at under sevens, in my personal opinion, it's still too large. Mm. And I think we have to have a really hard look at the introduction of 3v3 at under sevens and under eights. And I think if we go to 5v5 at under nines and under tens, that is the perfect pathway mm-hmm. for children, but also for the DNA and producing those really creative and skillful footballers for the future.
Yeah, and it's, as always, the child first, football second, knowing what they're capable of physically, emotionally, and all of the things that surround a child and their development, and catering it to them in the best way possible. So thanks so much, Dad, for teaching me all about the play phase. For any captains of play who are listening, any parents or anybody who is just enjoying listening to these podcasts, thank you so much. Really excited to be bringing you next week's episode, as I mentioned before, where we'll be talking to sports entrepreneur Anders Venneslund. It's a great episode. We were really glad that we got to have that chat. And as always, thank you from me. Thank you from my amazing dad. And I would say thank you from Dora, but she's still outside mooching around, maybe digging holes. We don't know. Thanks so much, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again to our sponsors, Bazooka Goals, Airpitch and 3v3 UK, for helping us to create the perfect environment to develop happy, active and skillful players.